I give honor to our pastor and his wife. I give honor to my wife and my beautiful children. Many, many years ago, I never would have thought that I'd be standing behind a podium to preach the gospel to a congregation. But I'm most importantly, I want to give honor to God. There's so much that we can just thank God for. Like Pastor said, we had a powerful, powerful service on Sunday, and I feel in my spirit that that's going to carry over into tonight. There's a totally different feeling being up here to preach rather than just to exhort or to read a few verses or prayer and offering. And if I said that I wasn't nervous, I would be lying. Pastor, like he said, he asked me to preach until this bottle of water right here, ice cold, would be gone. And my response was, well, you'll get about a quarter of that. So, all jokes aside, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word. Before we do, though, I want to give a little backstory of what I'm going to preach tonight. I'm sure many of you know, as being raised up in the church, that you know the story of Lazarus and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But for some that don't, I want to give just a little bit of the first beginning of this chapter, because I'm going to take my text to the end of this chapter. See, the word Lazarus, or the name Lazarus, is the Greek form of Eleazar. It means God is my help. And see, a certain man was sick, and it's Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany is the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary is the woman that who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was the one that was sick. See, Mary and Martha end up going to Jesus to seek help for their sick brother. And the word says, therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, the phrase, now a certain man was sick in the beginning of this chapter, begins perhaps the most remarkable miracle that Jesus performs. Some say that it's foolish to think that one miracle is more difficult than another, but this is one of the most unique miracles. And the chapter goes on to say this: the sickness is not unto death before the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. See, Jesus knew the outcome already, but this is the reason he said, but for the glory of God. See, after this, Jesus stayed for two more days, giving Mary and Martha agonizing pain and fear. Has anybody in here ever had a text that they sent out to somebody and they didn't reply immediately and they just left you on read? But you see, this 2 days later, they finally text back. This is pretty much what Jesus done to Martha. But then suddenly Jesus decided to go unto Judea and Jerusalem. Jesus then says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. See, that word sleeps isn't a natural sleep. Lazarus is dying. Are there any Lazaruses in here tonight? Where I want to take your attention to tonight is John chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 31 through 37. Say amen when you get there. John 11, 31 reads like this: the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily. And that word hastily is with excessive speed. And went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. But then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Verse 33 reads, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? I thought long and hard on the title of my message for tonight. The title that stuck with me is A Weep During the Battle. If we could just close our eyes and lift our hands, lay our Bibles at our seat, and let's just glorify God one more time before we get into this message. Lord God, we love you tonight, God. Lord, we just ask, God, that this message that you have given to me, Lord, I can give it to your people the way that you gave it to me, God. Lord God, anoint me from the tip of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord. Lord God, we just ask, Lord, that you just move in this service, God. Lord God, we ask that you bless this word, Lord. Anoint it, God. Lord, we love you, Lord. We praise you. Lord God, help us to open our hearts, Lord, and our minds, God. Lord God, we just ask, Lord, that as we continue on with this service, Lord, you just keep your spirit moving in this place, God. We love you and we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, there's a difference, a very important difference, between the tears of Mary and the tears of Jesus. You see, the word weep in the scripture that is used for the expressions of Mary is a word that describes a loud wailing. But the word wept that is used to describe Jesus' expression of grief is another word that indicates a quiet weeping. You see, Jesus was greatly moved, but he wasn't out of control. There's some things that we go through that we think that we got to get out of control, and somebody cuts you off on the road, you got to get out of control. But see, in this passage of scriptures, there's a family that is facing a tragic situation, which is leading to what they think is a man's death. And if it's all right, I'm gonna preach this message just the way that God gave it to me. The Lord was speaking to me, and he said that there was somebody in this place that was going to be here tonight. I don't know nobody's names. I don't know who it is. But they're going through a family situation that you've already wrote as a loss. See, somebody in here is in a place in life where you have already thought about the outcome of the battle. There's somebody in here that's facing a battle that you have already thought about just forfeiting. But I've come to tell somebody tonight that as the way this family's tragedy is making them think in the worst outcome, somebody is facing the same battle, but I've come to tell you that no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter the battle, there is a God that is already knowing the outcome. And there is a God that is still in the midst of your battle. There is a God. As I was writing down my notes, the story come to me, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but when I was younger, I used to live with my stay with my grandparents, might as well say live with. I was with them all the time, traveled all the time with them. But there was one time that we went to church. and I'm standing in the middle of a parking lot, pitch black outside. We're up north on that side of town. And I was just a young boy about my son's age, scared to death. See, the reason I was scared is because, and the reason it's shame on me is because my grandparents left me. And also Pastor John. But you see, I was in fear, but then come along, Pastor John. He knew how it was being left. They picked me up. And I thought for a fact that I was never getting picked back up. I thought as I stood in fear, there was never going to be a time that I would see my mom again, my dad again, any of my family again. But as I was standing there in this dark, dark place, no one else around, all alone, there was someone that come in and picked me up. See, for some of you, you're like, hey, whatever, he just picked you up, you went home, woohoo. But the reason I tell you this story is because on somebody, there is somebody that's in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your pain. There is a God that will show up right in the midst at the right time. In the midst of the fear, in the midst of the agonizing pain, Mary cried tears of loud wailing. But in the midst of all the chaos that was going on, a man dying, man, that's horrible. Jesus wept a silent cry. See, the definition of battle is a fight or struggle tenaciously to achieve or resist something. See, in Psalms 24, where David is talking about the King of Glory and the Ark of the Covenant, in verse 8, it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. See, this is saying the same God that responds to a man's welcoming is still the King of glory. The same God that is going to be with you during your best times is the same God that's going to be with you when you invite him into your battle. See, we have battles sometimes that we go through that contains agonizing pain and fear. There's many, many different battles you could be facing tonight. Like I said, I'm going to preach this the way the Lord gave it to me. And in the midst of your battle, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's anxiety, depression, it's important to stay at a silent cry. And the reason I say this is because you have to control yourself to remove yourself from what you're going through to let God take control. You see, there's a Jewish tradition where they believe that the spirit will return to the body in 3 days. This tradition is called, I'm probably going to butch this, but Shemira, or watching/guarding. They have what you call a shomer or a shomeret that watches over the body from the time of the death until the burial. You see, Jesus waited 2 more days before going to where Lazarus was laid, which puts Jesus showing up on the 4th day. See, the body already stinks, and this man is dead, and there's no hope for a resuscitation. See, Jesus knew what he was going to accomplish, when he was waiting until that fourth day. You see, he wasn't going to perform the miracle on Martha's time. And I feel in my spirit that there's a Martha in here tonight that needs to hear that God isn't going to move on your time and your battle. I've come to tell you to just move out of the way and let God take control. You see, Mary and Martha are expecting Jesus to move in their situation right away. They're expecting him to intercede in the now. But what they don't realize is the weep during their battle is getting ready to become a weep of the biggest miracle Jesus performed. See, you think because your life is upside down, you think that your world's crashing before you. You're weeping loudly like Mary did. But I've come to tell you to just sit back and let God take control. See, there's many times in life that we go through a battle. Sometimes we want to take control of the situations ourselves. There's sometimes as Christians that we think that we can defeat all things on our own. But until you let God take control, the battle is not over. I want to bring to your attention of a battle. It's called the Battle of Aphek. It's a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. See, the Philistines defeated the Israelites' army, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant, but the battle wasn't over. See, the Philistines had outbreaks of tumors and diseases, and it forced the Philistines to return the Ark of the Covenant back to the Israelites. But you see, just because you're losing your joy, just because you're lost in this world, just because you're on a mountain and you hit a drop-off, doesn't mean your battle is over. Your battle is going to come to an end when God says so. And I know there's some men, maybe even women, that will say real men don't cry. Real men don't weep. You have to keep everything bottled up. Real men have to be strong. You do. You have to be strong. But I've come to tell you that if weeping or me breaking out into tears but keeping my composure makes me less of a man, then I'm less than a man. Because you see, the strongest man to ever walk the face of the earth wept. You see, you can't have a calloused heart and expect to move forward in your battle. Jesus performed a battle, but before he did so, he wept. You want to see a miracle performed, you better hit your knees and weep before God's feet. See, the Bible tells us that Mary fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I'm going to read that again. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. You see, she pretty much puts the blame on Jesus for not being there. But at this moment, Mary wants a miracle to be performed. But she is coming expecting Jesus to move. But she also falls at his feet weeping and pretty much putting the blame on him. But I've come to tell you to stop putting your blame on God for your battle. And let God take control of your battle. See, this church is on a move. This church is getting ready to see things that we've never seen. We're about to break through this season of weeping. And I believe that if we take our battle and give it to God, we're going to see the miraculous. We're going to see the deaf to hear. We're going to witness the blind to see. But we're also going to witness the crippled to walk. We have to break through this season in church. As the musicians come, this altar is already open. You see, before David faced Goliath, Saul told David, you can't fight that Philistine. You're just a youth. He has been a man of war from his youth. Pretty much what that's saying is you can't fight him. You're new in church. Come on, somebody. You can't fight the devil. You're new to this. Come on. The devil's been around all this time. You can't do that. But see, David said, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb from the flock." David went out and slew the lion and the bear. David then slain the giant. Little David defeated something so much bigger than him. But David didn't do it alone. This altar's open. You see, you can't go through this battle alone. See, in Revelations 21 and 4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Come on, somebody. You want to see your family saved, you better fall at his feet. You want to see your marriage saved, you better fall at his feet. You want to see your finances fixed. You want to see your depression fixed, your anxiety. Come on, somebody. You better fall at his feet. See, God wants to hear your cry. He wants to hear you cried out before him. God wants to hear your cry, not because of the pain. God don't want you to go through pain. He wants you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to go through pain forever. You think because you lost a loved one that you're going to stay in that place forever? I'm coming to tell you tonight, you're not. You think because you was raised in church and you backslid that you're stuck in that pain forever? And I've come to tell you tonight, you're not. See, you think because you're addicted to drugs and alcohol that you're stuck in that pain, but I've come tonight to tell you, you're not. You think because your family is going through struggles, you think you're stuck through that pain, I've come to tell you tonight, you're not. See, he wants to hear your cry because of the miracle that he wants to perform at the end of your battle. And then wipe away all pain and sorrow. See, the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, there's some things in life, this ain't even on my notes, I just feel the Lord giving this to me. There's some things in life that you go through that you might lay in bed at night wondering, man, how am I going to do this? There's sometimes you might be laying in bed wondering, how am I going to pay my bills? There's sometimes at night that you might be laying there wondering, man, how is my brother or my sister going to be saved? How's my son going to be saved? There's sometimes late at night that you're probably laying in bed that praying for the church, praying for the people of the church. But then it hits you that you have a heartache for the lost, the broken, the addicted. It's okay to be addicted to God. But like I said, that you're not going to get rid of your pain nor your sorrow. You're not going to see your family one. You're not going to see your addictions and your bondages broken unless you fall at his feet and weep before God. See, it reminds me of the story of a lady that just touched the hem of his garment.
my Lord. This altar's open. If anybody wants to come up and pray, you're more than welcome to do so now. If not, pray at your seat. I just want to take a moment and just let the Lord move in this place. If we could stand to our feet and close our eyes.